Hebrews chapter 5, and begin to read in verse 10. And the Bible says, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you now. We certainly need you, and just beg of you to come by for a little while. Lord, you've met with us many times where I'm standing this morning, and I pray today would be no different. I pray you'd come by and meet with us today. We certainly need your touch and need your help, and guard our mind and our thoughts today. And God, we pray while we might preach that you'd touch us and anoint us afresh. But give us something from heaven, Lord, that these dear folk need in front of us today. Lord, that those that might be lost, we might be able to point to Calvary, that they'd come and get saved, and that those that just need some direction would find direction from the Word of God. Touch us now and help us, and help each one to not only hear with their ears, but to receive it into their heart. And God will certainly give you the glory for it all. Save that sinner's nearest to you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. In the book of Hebrews, if you look in chapter 5, look back at the first part of this chapter, he deals in that with the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, as I picked up in verse 10, as he is talking about being called a priest at the order of Melchizedek. Now, if you go back in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, you'll find mention of King Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem and the priest of God. Now you go over to chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, and he says, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Boy, ain't that the Lord Jesus Christ today? He's king of righteousness, and he is king of peace. By the way, Salem was Jerusalem before it became Jerusalem in the Old Testament. And so guess where King Melchizedek was? He was king and that of Salem. Guess where Jesus is going to rule and reign at? When he comes back upon the face of this earth, he's going to rule in Jerusalem. That's not by chance, friend. That was all by design. And he talks about without father and without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And there's a lot of speculation out of chapter 3, whether when Abraham met King Melchizedek there, whether he was meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can draw your own conclusion. I'm not preaching on that this morning. You have to understand something. The priests come out of the priestly lineage, if you remember, out of Aaron's lineage over there. And you remember Christ come out of that, out of the, he was the line of the tribe of Judah. And so it talks about without father and without mother, without descent. For Christ to be the priest, he was not in a priestly tribe, out of the Levitical tribe, if you let me say that. And then we look and he says, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. And we know that the priest had a beginning time, had an end time of being a priest, but King Melchizedek did not. He was priest from whenever God made him that, and he was priest till God made him stop that, which was when he died. And so we find that he said right here, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. And then you ought to be excited today that Christ Jesus is our great high priest that we get to go to. Amen. And he said, let us come unto the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time of need. We can go to the intercessor, which is for all men,
to come and seek him. If you're lost, you can come to the great high priest and have your sins forgiven. Amen. If you'll come and pray and ask Jesus to save you, he will save you today. And for the child, listen to me now, for the child of God, he hears and answers our prayers. Ain't that a wonderful thing today? Thank God they somebody. Ain't you glad they somebody in heaven listening to your prayer? Think about where you'd be without that today. Think about it. Listen at me now. Listen at me. These youngins will get settled down here in a little bit. Listen, you're going to miss it today. You better be thankful there's a God in heaven. You better be thankful there's somebody else. I'm not living this thing on my own, friend. I'm not living this thing and just breathing an empty prayer up into an empty heaven. But there's somebody up there that's listening. That ought to excite us this morning. But he said right here, he said, of whom we have many things to say, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and him being the priest and the priesthood of God. And he said, in their heart to be uttered, but he answered, why? They were hard to be uttered because they were what? Dull of hearing. They lacked understanding. And so he said, you lack understanding. And he said, you're at the time in your life when you ought to be teachers. You should have matured spiritually. You should be able to teach what you know. But he said, you need to go back to the first principles of the oracles of God. Have somebody teach them to you again. As I liken this, a lot of times going to the primer class in Sunday school. He didn't think very highly of the church that he was writing to here. He said, some of you all need to go back and relearn what you should have already learned. And he said, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. You know, what was it that the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2? He said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And he says, you don't need meat, you need milk. I believe Paul dealt with the church at Corinth, and they were in the same shape. And so he said, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So that tells me we should be skillful in the word of God, should we not? As we grow, we should have some knowledge and wisdom out of the word of God. And we should know how to use it. You should know how to wield your sword. You should know how to fight. The very first song we sung in service this morning, Victory in Jesus. Listen, I'm glad we can have victory in him. But sometimes that victory you got to find. And so he says right here, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. There's nothing wrong with being a baby when you're a baby. Right? When you're little, like all these youngins sitting down here, I know that I'm sure mom and dad, and I learned from them by watching them. I still learn from these youngins right here. But you know what? They're going to learn a lot more from mom and dad than mom and dad's going to learn from them as they grow. We learn more from the word of God, you see. But then he said in verse 14, he said, and here's what I'm going to deal with toward the end of this verse. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I want to preach for just a little while a very simple message that is sometimes hard to do. And I want to preach on how to discern. Brother Jeff has been teaching in the book of Proverbs. Let me encourage you to come to Sunday school. Teaching the book of Proverbs, it's a wonderful book and can learn so much from the book of Proverbs. But how do we discern things? What does discern mean? Discern means to separate with the eye or by understanding. It means to distinguish or to see the difference between two or more things. It means to make the difference or to discover something about something. And so I think we understand to discern. Let me read you this. In the book of Genesis chapter 27, it's talking about Isaac. And the very first mention that we find the word discern in the Bible, it's about a man who could not discern. And he said this, and he discerned him not, talking about Jacob, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. So Isaac could not tell the difference between Jacob and Esau because his eyes were dim. Remember the whole story about Rebekah put that lambskin on him and all those things. And the Bible said he just could not tell the difference between them. Sometimes discernment is making a decision. Ezekiel chapter 44, he said, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between unclean and the clean." Now, the great thing about your King James Bible is it will generally define what words are. He said, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the clean and unclean." So what are we learning? He's learning how to put a difference between things. Pray for my throat this morning. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, you find that Solomon, when God asked Solomon what he wanted, what did he say? He said, "Therefore," he said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. That I can tell the difference between good and bad. Boy, we've got a generation, they can't tell the difference between good and bad, don't we? I mean, they don't know what's profane or what's holy. They don't. It's kind of like, he talks about over there in one of the Gospels that he talks about to give not that which is holy unto the dogs. You know, when they would catch that holy bread out there, listen, them dogs don't know that thing's holy. Them dogs just gobble it right up, you know. And a lot of people, they don't understand or know the difference between what is holy and what is unholy. And so even Solomon, he said, "Lord, just give me a heart, the ability to be able to discern for this great a people so that I know what to do." Sometimes in your life, you need to know what to do. You just need to know the decisions to make. Some decisions are easier to make than other decisions, ain't it? Some decisions are hard to make. I may make this statement again. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine the other day, and he quoted J. Vernon McGee, and he said, J. Vernon McGee said one time, so if he didn't say this, I'll give you my preacher's friend, and you can go talk to him about it. If he lied, then I guess I'm about to lie. But J. Vernon McGee was quoted saying one time that in his ministry, probably 90% of the decisions that he made, he wasn't sure that they were the will of God. But looking back over them, he says, where God guided him in that stuff. Sometimes, what I'm getting at is sometimes we're not 100% sold on everything when we got to make a decision. But we make a perception, if you would. Let me say that. The book of Nehemiah chapter 6, when there was one coming to Nehemiah, he said, "And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him." I think God can give us some spiritual perception to make discernment. You know what that's called? Wisdom. Now, Brother Jeff is teaching on wisdom on Sunday morning. 2 Samuel chapter 5, the Bible said, "And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel." It took him all the way to 2 Samuel chapter 5 that he perceived that God had done that. Although at somewhere around 16 years old, Samuel come over and anointed him king. Sometime later, the children of Israel made him king, but then he perceived that God made him king. So three things this morning on how to discern. Very simple. What are we discerning between? Sometimes I'm discerning between my will, God's will, and how Satan's trying to get us to mess up. Sometimes I'm trying to discern between is God trying to stop us from going away that he don't want us to go, or is Satan trying to hinder us from doing what God would have us to do? How many of you have ever set out to do what you believe to be God's will, And then somewhere in that path, roadblocks begin to show up. It begins to get a little harder to do what you think should be done. And so then you begin to scratch your head and you begin to wonder in your heart, what did God really want me to go on this path? Did God really want me to go down through here? And so now you're trying to discern, did I mess up or is Satan just trying to hinder me? You say, well, all that stuff should be pretty easy. Bless your heart. You teach me how to do it then and make it easy. But three things this morning. How do we discern? Number one, by the Scripture. God has given us a book that is in front of us. Notice if we go back to the text verse in verse 11, he said, seeing you're dull of hearing. He deals with the Scripture right here. He talks about, he says, look, he said, the time you ought to be teachers, you have one that need to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, the Word of God, what God had gave, what God had given for them to live by. You know what I mean? You need the Scripture. You know why it's important for you to read the Bible, for you to learn about God, for you to know what God's done for you and what God can do for you, but then to know how to live this life while we're here. That's why you need the Scripture. That's why I need the Bible. Psalms 119, verse 104, he said, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you've got a decision to make that you're unsure about, won't you just open the Bible? You say, well, that exact issue may not be in there. Open the Bible and begin to read. I remember what my pastor used to say. Here's one thing he used to say, and you've heard me say it, reading will clear up a lot of problems. Just read. Just sit down and read. You'll be amazed if you'll just open your Bible and begin to read what God can help you with. Hey, Psalms 119, verse 130 said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. He giveth understanding unto the simple. The Word of God. You know why we struggle sometimes? We don't read like we should. You say, well, I read my Bible all the time, but do you read like you should? Do I read like I should? Sometimes I find myself in the case of wanting to read just so that I can read and feel better that I've read my Bible for the day. I've got that chore accomplished. Well, I'll tell you, when we get to looking at reading God's Word as a chore, we're in a mess, ain't we? It shouldn't be a chore to read your Bible. Should not be a chore for me to read my Bible. But we should search out the Scriptures. You need to know what to do. And I'm going to deal with some decisions here in a minute. Read your Bible. Listen to what the Scripture has to say. I thought about when Samuel, when he was a young man, when he was just a boy, and he was laying in the bed over there, and God began to speak to him and talk to him, and he would run to Eli, and finally by the third time, Eli perceived what was going on, and he says, here's what I want you to tell him, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, when we have discernment and decisions that need to be made, that's probably how we need to approach God's Word, is speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. It would be good if we went to the Word of God with the idea, no matter what it says, I'm going to believe it, and then I'm going to do it. No matter what it is. You may not like the outcome that you find in this book, but I can guarantee you it'll be right every time. In reading this book, it can give you spiritual perception. You know, as I was taught growing up, and I still live by this little rule right here, that knowledge is learning how to do something, but then wisdom is knowing how to take that knowledge and knowing how to apply it. And so it is in the Word of God that we take this. Let me ask you something. Have you ever just asked the Lord, I need some direction right here, and then scripture jump into your heart and into your mind. You ever had that happen?
I have.
That's why he said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We hide the word in our heart. We meditate upon the word of God so that it might direct us in our life. Some of you all, and I don't know this for a fact, but some of you are sitting in here and you've got decisions to make. You're trying to figure out this morning what is the right thing to do. Now let me say this, I'm getting ahead of myself. When you figure it out, do it. When you figure, a lot of us still want to keep figuring. You can ask my wife, I like to dwell on things way too much. And if I would just go ahead and do what needs to be done, it wouldn't be near as bad sometimes. Sometimes listening to the scripture comes not only in reading it, it comes through preaching of it and the teaching of it. And I know there's going to be some independent Baptists that's going to argue with me about this, but sometimes it even comes in the singing of it. Has a song not blessed your heart from time to time? Has God not used a good scriptural song in that to help you? He has me. He's lifted my heart up in the Lord's points of time. But sometimes, friend, it has to come through His Word. It's in Scripture that we grow and gain understanding. He said it was in the strong meat, talking about the Word of God, and those that were in full of age, he said, by reason of use, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So putting to knowledge, putting to use what you've learned and what you know. He said that's what they've done. They've exercised it. You know the word exercise means to use or practice. To use or practice. So you take what you know about the Word of God and you put it into use or into practice. So, I don't do this as much as I should, and I understand this. You know, we ought to read Proverbs. I mean, if you want wisdom, go to the book of Proverbs. It teaches us about wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And to be honest with you, Proverbs teaches you more how to get wisdom. You know, to seek it out. We studied that this morning. You know, search for us, buried treasures, hidden silver, you know. In other words, you've got to go dig for it and look for it and desire it, want to have it. By the way, there's work to it. You ever search for buried treasure? Some of you all sitting in here have. You've dug in the ground looking for something that you thought was going to be great somewhere down in the dirt. You thought you was going to get some of you have got some good stuff out of the dirt. But it takes work, don't it? I've learned that a lot of times in my life, I just want decisions to come easy. And Lord, why can't we get this thing figured out right now? Why won't this happen? Why can't we do all these things? But how do we discern? We discern in that by reading and practicing the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He said in verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. You know, the Holy Spirit will take this book, open it up, and help you with it. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So if you're going to read the Bible and try to understand the Bible, then the Holy Spirit must reside on the inside because this is a spiritual book. You know one way I know that I'm saved? Because when I read this book, God opens it up to me. The Holy Spirit resides on the inside. The Holy Spirit deals with my heart about what I read in this book right here. Listen, and He begins to give enlightenment and wisdom out of the Word of God. He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They don't understand. The lost man, the unsaved man, does not understand why we do what we do and the decisions that we have made. Do you know that you cannot make spiritual decisions with worldly wisdom? You can't do it. It won't work. It'll never work. He said, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, but he himself judgeth no man, for who knoweth the mind of the Lord, but that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So as we've been saved, God's gave us the mind of Christ, you see. So it comes in the Word of God. Then take your Bible and go to the book of James, chapter 1. We're talking about discernment. How do we get discernment? First, you read your Bible. That's pretty easy, isn't it? Ain't that an easy concept to understand? Just read your Bible. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Can I stop right here and say, he said count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. That word divers means many and different ones. He said, when you fall into many and different temptations, count it all joy. Ain't that backwards? Is that not what your Bible says? Am I reading that right, church? Am I really reading that right? I mean, he says, look, he said, count it all joy, because here's what it is. He says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, trusting in the Lord, leaning on the Lord, depending on the Lord, what he has told you in the Scripture, believing it, he said, worketh patience. Well, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, then he said this in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You want to have discernment? You want to make a decision and make the right decision? Pray. I told you it's going to be simple. Read your Bible and pray. He said, let him ask of God. He said, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. That word upbraid means to chide or to discourage in or to bother about. God ain't going to chide on you or correct you for coming to him and saying, Lord, I need to make a decision right here. What do I need to do? I mean, now, if it's plain in the book, you know, there's some things you don't have to stop and pray about. There's some things you don't have to wonder about. There's some things, say, what am I going to do right here, God? The book has been very plain, and you just need to do it. But there's some times that we're standing around and we're scratching our spiritual head and saying, God, what do I need to do right here? I need some help. He said, look, he said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. Verse 6, he said, let him ask in faith. You come to God, come and believe. Ask him, say, Lord, I need some help. I need some direction. Give me the faith to be able to trust what you tell me. Give me the faith to be able to do what you tell me to do. That's why he said a double-minded man was unstable in all his ways. Just a few verses down. I remember years ago, as I studied this message, it's come back to me when I was in, you know, I come down here to pastor when I was 26 years old. Been a long time ago, Brother Steve, hadn't it? Amen. It's been almost 20 years ago. I'm 46 years old now, and I was 26 when I come down here. That's hard to believe that 20 years has almost passed off. But I remember even prior to that, there was a church up in the country there that was going to call me to pastor before I come down here. And man, I wrestled and I tussled with that thing and I could not make up my mind, and I'd ask my wife what I needed to do. Don't ever do that. That'll get you in trouble. And finally, I'll never forget what she said. Why don't you just make a decision and see how you feel about it? Oh, that's a pretty good thing to do. I couldn't get nothing from God. I didn't feel I could get anything from God. I knew it was right for me to preach. I knew it was right for me to pastor. But I wasn't sure if it was right for me to pastor that church. And I remember that I was standing where I worked at years ago, and I had a workbench in front of me there, and had my own workshop, and I'd stand there, and I'd work in there, and I was running. I made my decision. I said, okay, I'm going to take the church. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take that church. As I've told many people this over the years, that was the worst 20 minutes of my life. That was horrible. That was a horrible decision. Worst 20 minutes. And I finally said, Lord, you don't want me to take that church. No. And that's what I come to, was that the Lord just did not want me to pastor that church. And I remember I went in there and I stopped what I was doing, and I don't know if I was supposed to or not, but I did. And I went in our family a phone. I called my pastor and I said, I'm not going to take that church. He said, son, you're old enough to know what to do. That's a good thing. Don't take it. And then he just hung up. I don't know what I was looking for, but he was short and to the point. And he just hung up. And that's it. And I called and told him, I said, don't even vote on me. I said, if it's 100%, I'm not taking the church. And I was satisfied, and I'm still satisfied, that I made the right decision. But when I come down here to pastor, you could not have convinced me any otherwise that I needed to be right where I'm standing at right now. You couldn't have convinced me of anything different. I mean, I knew what God wanted me to do. I understood that. I had a grasp of it. God gives you, I come back to that spiritual perception. When you read and when you pray, then God gives you that ability to make that decision. As much as I wanted to pastor, I knew that pastoring that other church was not the right thing, wasn't the right thing to do. It wasn't just a few months. I mean, it might have been 6 months that y'all called me down here, and that's, like I say, 20 years ago. J. Vernon McGee, I go back to him again. I do know that he said this. He said, if you lack wisdom in regard to a problem, you need to go to God in prayer. Well, that's just the book of James, ain't it? Just go pray. And God can give you that peace that you have to have to make that decision. And then He can give you that peace that will allow you to make that decision and abide by that decision. As things rock on in this world, and as things go in the way that they're going, you know, I've got a real good friend. She teaches school, and she's going to have to make up her mind, and I hope it don't ever come around here, but what's going on up north and out west, some of the things that's being pushed for them to teach, you know, there's come time she's going to have to make a decision whether she's going to stay a school teacher or not. I mean, your job might get on the line. And it just ain't in the public school system that decision. Your job might get on the line sometime. Some of you all are trying to make a decision how to raise your children, what to do with them. You'll find it in the Word of God and in prayer. Amen. Everything you need to know will be found in the Word of God and in prayer. But then let me say this, number three, not only do we search out the Scripture, and I've been very quick and very vague about this, not only do we pray, and by the word, when we pray, it may take more than one prayer or one time of praying. You may have to just dig in and keep praying. And what's the old saying? Pray till the answer comes. Well, what happens if you can't pray till the answer? What happens if you've got to make an answer here in just a minute? Have you ever been there? That brings us to number three. As I've said, it's very simple, and I'm not telling you nothing you don't know, but then we take what God has given us and we do it. We pray, and we've read our Bible, and we're trying to understand what God would want us to do. And sometimes it's not easy to figure out, and then sometimes it's easy to figure out, but not hard, but hard to accomplish. The proverbial fork in the road, what do I do? It's not that you can go straight and veer off. No, there's a fork in the road. You're going to have to go right or left. You cannot keep doing
what you're doing. What are we going to do? Sometimes it just gets tough to make decisions. And sometimes it's not tough on the decisions, but just doing it. That comes back to the book of James when he says, but let him ask in faith. I believe he's talking about asking God in faith for wisdom. But we can ask God and say, Lord, give us the faith and the ability to do what you'd have us to do. I know the decision. Now, God, you've helped me make that decision. I heard one preacher say this, and I think it's very true, and I think I said it a few minutes ago. You take what you know out of this book, and you do it. Let me put it to you another way, what I'm talking about. How many of us want to make that decision and know 100% and have the and feel good about it? Feel fuzzy and warm about it and say, oh yeah, this is it right here. I know this. This is what God wants me to do. I know it 100%. This is what's going to happen. What happens when you don't have that feeling? What happens when doubt is rolling in the back of your mind? But you've got a book in front of you and you've got prayer and you've got faith and you're just going to have to trust God that He's right. You're just going to have to trust God. That book's right. I mean, you're just going to have to trust Him and say, yep, I believe that book's right. Here's how I'm going to raise my family. Here's what we're going to do about some things. Here's how I'm going to do my job. Here's everything. Here's how I'm going to pastor this church. This book right here. You just got to trust it's right. And it won't lead you wrong. Again, I come back to that spiritual perception. I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Kings. I'm fixing to close. 1 Kings chapter 13. This is, I guess you might say, spiritual perception in reverse. 1 Kings chapter 13, we find a young preacher. We find a man of God. He's younger than the old man of God that we're going to be introduced to. And what this young man has come and done is he has preached against King Jeroboam. God said, go over there and preach against him. Remember, Jeroboam was the one that set up idol worship. And he said, you go preach against him. And he said, but don't you eat here, don't you drink here, and don't you go back the way that you came. That's what God told him to do. And so in the process of time, when he preached against King Jeroboam, Jeroboam reached his hand out against the man of God, and God withered his hand. And he could not draw his hand back. And King Jeroboam told the young man of God, he said, pray for me that God would restore my hand. And he did. And so God restored his hand. And the king tried to get him to go home with him. And so he said this in verse 9, talking about the young man right here, the young man of God. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord. Now notice what charged him. The word of the Lord, right? Saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So when he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto him, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me, by who? By the word of the Lord. Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. All right. Let me park right here and say something. This young man of God knew his instructions and knew who they come from. And he knew what to do. So in verse 18, here the old prophet is. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back unto thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Oh, but here's the problem. But he lied unto him. Can I tell you, the Word of God will never lie to you. This book will never lie to you. You may run to people, and you may even come to me, and I may give you an opinion or give you some good godly advice that would be good. Say, what would it hurt this prophet to go back with the old prophet and eat bread and drink water? What would it hurt? God told him not to. God don't have to explain himself. God don't have to explain himself in this book. If God says don't do it, then you know what? Don't do it. But Lord, I'd like to. You reckon the young prophet was thirsty and hungry? He had left Judah and come in and that to Bethel, and he was preaching against all this stuff. Do you not reckon he's hungry and thirsty? And the old man of God come and said, hey, I'm an old preacher. God told me to have you come back to my house. Oh, but in verse 19, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. Oh, he disobeyed the word of God. Nor did he perceive that he was being lied to. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. Talking about the old man. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after that he had eaten bread, and after that he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. The old prophet got it right, didn't he? He said, that's got to be the man of God out there who was disobedient to the word of God. I want you to notice something right here. Notice men seeing what happened. The lion got him, didn't it? That scared me when I read that passage late last night. I was looking over this and I'd never caught this before. I'd seen that the lion had got him many, many times. But I'd never made the correlation between 1 Peter 5 and 8 and that verse right there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I never made that correlation of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 where Paul said, talking about that one who was committing fornication in the church, said we're going to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the body. Well, I sure don't want God on the wrong decisions that I make, especially when I know what the right decision is. Hello? See, this young man, and I call him a young man, but this prophet knew what the right thing to do was. God already told him. See, we know a lot of times what to do, we just don't want to do it. I'm in the same boat you all are. I got the same flesh you got. And he said right here, he said men had seen life. You know, God let things see. God let people see what's going on. And so that lion got him because he was disobedient to the word of the Lord. And he said, verse 27, he spake to his son, saying, saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. You know what that tells me? That God made that to happen. That lion didn't eat nothing. And that lion didn't try to eat that donkey that was standing over there. He didn't eat the man of God. He just tore him and killed him and then left him laying. And the prophet took up the carcass. You notice that the Bible right through here just calls it a carcass. Have you noticed that? That caught my attention the other night too.
carcass of the man of God and laid it up on the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, "Alas, my brother." And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, "When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones." For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against the houses of the high places which are in the city of Samaria shall surely come to pass. And by the way, it did come to pass. He said there's going to be one by the name of Josiah. Go back and read the first part of this chapter. He's going to come in. He's going to destroy all of it. Let me tell you, what I'm trying to get here is just because you once made good decisions, and just because you once obeyed the word of God, and just because you once have done it right, don't mean you're doing it right now. He went in and he prophesied and done exactly what God wanted him to do, told the truth of what God wanted him to tell, and then he was on the path of doing right till an old man of God who gave him bad advice and lied to him got him out of the way. You want to know what to do? Read your Bible and pray. You'll find out what to do. And when you find out what to do, then do it and don't waver from it. Let's bow our heads this morning.